Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And you don't know what you're going to hear on this episode, because I don't either. That's half the fun of hosting this podcast. And today, I'm so excited to have not one, but two amazing guests for you to tell a story in the way only they can tell it. We've got Andrea Murphy, and we've got her secret agent associate Morgan with her. Hello, ladies, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Lee. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm so excited to have y'all join me. So before we dig into whatever your craziness is, tell the world who you are, where you're located, how long you've been in the business, any of the tidbits you think are totally pertinent to who you are.
Sure, certainly. So we are both in Louisville, Kentucky. I have been in the business for just a little over 4 years, and I am Morgan's managing broker.
Yes. I am Morgan Bowling. I have been in the business a little over 2 years.
So just like, if you're a regular, normal person in the public listening to this who's not a realtor, you might not know that with Morgan's 2 years in the business and Andrea's 4 years in, they have already really achieved, because our attrition rate is so high in real estate that it's estimated that 85% of new licensees give up within the first 2 years. So it's a huge accomplishment, Morgan, to make it to 2 years, especially when you don't have any crow's feet or gray hair yet like the rest of us do. And Andrea, here you are doubling that, and you're already in a broker's seat. So that, I just, people think 4 years and 2 years doesn't sound like a lot, but in real estate, that's like 20 years or 40 years in other industries. So
yes, it's different. Can you count it as like dog years?
Yes, except that when we talk about how we look, we get to go by 1/7 instead of 7 times, because that's how we roll.
Yeah. I like that.
So before you dig into your story, let me tell y'all there's only 2 ground rules on my podcast, because it is mine, and I was so proud to get my little E rating. I don't mind the salty language, but I really don't like F-bombs or GDs or see you next Tuesday, because I'm a good Southern girl. And the other rule is that if there are blatantly, obviously, wretchedly guilty people, just don't call them by their real names. Call them Santa Claus or something. I don't care. Just don't call them out. So with that being said, ladies, what in the world happened in Louisville that y'all had to get up on the podcast?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got pulled into Morgan's transaction when I got a phone call and had to visit the jailhouse. So that's kind of what makes it crazy. But to kind of back up and start the story a little bit, Morgan listed a piece of property for an acquaintance. And at the time, the deed, she read the deed, and the person on the deed, it was clearly read unmarried. And at the time, the seller was in jail. So she had a power of attorney. So Morgan was working with the seller's mother as the power of attorney. They put the house on the market. It sells within a week, because everybody knows it's just a little crazy right now. And then the power of attorney completes the title work page and marks on there that the seller is married. And Morgan did not know that she was married. So the title company calls me and they're like, hey, what's going on? You know, they marked married, and Morgan's, you know, what do I do? And so I said, it's fine. So I called the power of attorney and I said, hey, what's going on? Is your daughter married or is she not married? And the power of attorney said, well, yes, she is married. And I said, well, kind of would have been great to know this up front, because that drastically affects the title work. So we'll get that cleaned up. Well, then at the time, the power of attorney tells me, well, we don't know where her husband is. And I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? Like, he's missing in action. You haven't heard from him. He's estranged. Well, apparently he's estranged. So I was like, okay, so now we've got a seller that's, we got one who's in jail and we've got one who's MIA. Well, so I happened to be at an attorney's office downtown, and I was like, hey, can y'all run this name through your like criminal database or whatever y'all got behind your secret walls back there, please? And so they ran his name through the database. Turns out the husband is also in jail. So now we got a husband.
Oh, that's so romantic.
I know. Isn't that great? So now we got a husband and we got a
and remind me again, you said the power of attorney was her mama, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And the because in my head, you keep saying the power of attorney, and all I keep hearing is, and mama said, and mama, she ain't mama. Married no more, and he's gone, and she is glad of it. And now we know why she was glad of it.
That is so true. So, yeah, mama has been running this transaction the whole time. And so I call mama and I'm like, hey, I happen to be in the attorney's office. They found him. Good news. He's in jail too. So we know where he is.
And can't run from us.
Yeah. Like, he's not going anywhere. We're in good shape. So I walk over to the jailhouse. Now, mind you, I have never been to jail, so I do not know what the process is like to visit someone in jail. So I said, well, let me just walk on over there because it'd just be easier if I just walk over as opposed to calling, and maybe I can smile at them and they'll be a little bit more friendly. So I went over there, and to see someone who's in jail, because as you know, since we have two sellers on a deed, we now need two power of attorneys. And we've only got one.
Yes, and mama probably shouldn't serve as a power of attorney for both of them. You know, just, you know, a little bit of conflict there.
Exactly. So I called the title company and I said, hey, good news. He's in jail. I'm walking over there. Y'all put me on as the power of attorney for him. I'm going to go over there and see him, get him to sign it, and we'll be done with this. Well, it didn't quite work out that way because that's not the jailhouse rules, and I did not know that. So I go over to the jailhouse, and I'm like, hey, I need to see this person who's incarcerated, and I need them to sign this form. Well, you can only physically see someone, like have human interaction contact, if you're an officer of the court or a member of clergy. Now, me being as clever as I am sometimes, I said, now, when you say member of clergy, do you mean like priest, minister, or I got ordained online last night? Which one is it? And he said, you know, well, as long as you had the proper paperwork. And I said, okay, well, we did not get ordained, so that was just too crazy. And so those were not the day that I went over there was not visiting days because you can only go on Tuesdays and Saturdays. So we go back on a Tuesday and jailhouse rules, you can only have one visitor per day. And he had already had a visitor, so we couldn't see him. So that meant we had to go on a Saturday at 7 a.m., which, you know, is super early for realtor time.
And yes.
Yeah, it's just way too early. So I meet Morgan at the office at 6:15 in the morning. We mosey on down to the jail. We get checked in, which, by the way, if you ever want to feel good about yourself, just go down to the jailhouse. So
I would think on Saturday morning, they're still processing the Friday night people, too. And y'all over there on the bourbon trail. So, I mean, it might affect the clientele a little bit.
And it was a hoot. So I walk in there, you know, to see him, and, you know, I pick up the phone because you can't, it's all video conference. They're in another jail. They're in another building. And so I'm trying to talk to him. I'm like, hey, you have this property. We're trying to get it sold. You could possibly receive some proceeds. I don't know. Can you sign the power of attorney, please? Because I had left the paperwork with his counselor. And he kind of moaned and groaned about it a little bit. And I said, you know, look, buddy, I'm down here on a Saturday morning. I'm trying to help you out. I could be at home asleep or with my kids doing something else. I know your visitation is only 20 minutes long. I will sit here and bullshit with you for 20 minutes if that's what you want. I just need to know if you're going to sign the power of attorney or not. So he said that he would. And then Morgan, you take it from there. What happened?
He said that he would if we contacted his mother first to let her know the situation. So we left jail Saturday and we waited till Monday. We contacted his mother and let her know the situation and that he could possibly get money from the proceeds. So we contacted her and she said, okay, we can do that. The only thing is that he needs to get his belongings out of the house. Like, okay. So I know when I listed the house, there were things in the house. So I contacted the power of attorney for the wife and the seller's power of attorney. And she said, well, The only thing is I rented a dumpster and all of his belongings have been thrown away.
Mama battle now. Mama versus mama. Here we go.
Exactly. That's it.
So basically me and Andrea talked it over and we were like, look, we are not divorce attorneys. That is something that you all are going to have to take up in this divorce. You can either have him sign the power of attorney or else he will not get any money and this transaction will not close. So finally, she agreed that she would let inform him that he needed to sign the power of attorney paperwork. Well, by that time, he had been transported to prison.
I don't know what the difference is between jail and prison, but apparently it's 2 hours from here.
Yes. And she had no contact with him for like a week. So finally, she got in contact with him, and we had to actually wait another 3 weeks for him to sign this power of attorney.
Because he got moved to prison.
Because he got moved to prison, and we had to wait for the court date. So he actually changed over the power of attorney form for his mother to be the power of attorney. So we've got both mothers now as the power of attorneys. We finally
There's
got the power of attorney signed.
There's nothing that could go wrong with this situation. Oh, nothing could go wrong here.
So I finally got the power of attorney in hand, and I sent it over to the title company for them to review it, and they said we're good to go, and we had a closing date. It was probably about a week out from when we received the document. So I contacted both mothers, both power attorneys, to let them know, you know, when the closing was going to be and where it was going to be located. So at that time, they both informed me that if they were to see each other at the closing table, that there was going to be a knockout battle fight, that they did not want to see each other at closing or all hell was going to break loose.
And Lee, it's common in our area for sellers and buyers to sit at the same table and close the transaction together. Yes. As opposed to separate rooms.
So I.
But you know, you don't often have two mamas as power of attorney. So I guess, you know, this might be typical for this particular kind of scenario that you separate them.
To say the least.
We definitely had to make sure that they were separated, not only separated, but come to the closing, the title company, at different times. I had to arrange that one mama came at this time, call the title company, make sure she's gone and signed before the next mom comes to sign, because we wanted to avoid all conflict if possible. But prior to closing, we actually did a final walkthrough. And at that time, the owner, the wife, the seller, she had got out of jail. She was out of jail and she was staying in the house with her new boyfriend. And so
while she was still married to the guy that's correct. In prison.
Just to be clear, this is all the same house, same people.
Yes.
It's like all your nightmares came in one storm.
Yes. Definitely. It was. So I feel like if I can get through this, I can get through any transaction.
Right?
But just to throw this in, we got it worked out. But when they went to go to the final walkthrough, there were holes all in the walls. The appliances were missing, which they had, I guess, sold. And they were supposed to remain to get it all figured out. We actually gave the buyers early possession, and we did close. And we made it to the closing table, and everyone did get paid. But to top it off, this was definitely a nightmare transaction that did close.
We would say you're well seasoned now.
Yes, for sure.
Right? Definitely. So how did the other agent behave during all of this, the buyer's agent? Was she able to keep it cool and calm and collected, or was she pitching a fit over the delays, or what was the communication like?
It was actually, she was very, very collective. She knew kind of what was going on, and she knew that really I was doing everything I could to, you know, get this deal to closing.
Yeah, I mean, for God's sakes, we went to the jail at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And I should say that the buyers, they weren't upset with me, but they wanted to be separate from both the power of attorneys, the sellers.
Well,
and others.
I was gonna say that was a good call, good judgment call.
Yes. She couldn't have been more cooperative, the other agent. So.
Yeah, she was absolutely fantastic to work with.
She was. And we actually still keep in contact now, and we've had some other deals, and they went a lot more smoothly than that one, but we still laugh about it.
Well, I would think everything would be more smooth than that much drama in one. Good. Gosh, in one deal, because that was like, you know, 87 things that were going sideways. Right. But, you know, listening to that, it's like, first of all, my heart kind of hurts that anybody's in prison and can only have one 20-minute visitor twice a week. That's kind of sad. And, you know, it seems like if you want people to actually get rehabilitated, you'd let them have some human contact. But that's just a side note, because even if they're crazy and mean, somebody got to love on the crazy and mean people, too.
I know.
Maybe I'll go get my
too.
Universal Life Church clergy designation online for $40, because I can do that. I looked it up while you were talking. I can go get me a clergy badge. I'm going to go roll up in the jailhouse and go say hello. But outside of that, I mean, it's so interesting to me what sets apart a truly professional realtor from the person with a license who's just kind of scrabbling around for deal to deal is the level of commitment y'all show to this situation. And it's a situation where the average person without the level of tenacity and commitment that you showed might have given up back when the mysterious spouse appears on the title work because they might not be willing to ask questions. And I think that's what sets apart your best realtors. They ask lots of questions. So you called mama and said, what you know about a husband? And she says, oh, ha-ha, he didn't count anymore, but you got to go digging there. You find the husband, the separated husband, and he's not talking to his mama. Well, look, you might have mended a family relationship because he now got to talk to her as his power of attorney. And, you know, it's not just going down there at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning, which just as well be 2 a.m. for the way realtors operate. It's
right.
It's just keeping on going. And Morgan, you actually showcase what makes professional realtors get better is you went to Andrea and you said, I have never seen this. And I'm sure Andrea's like, well, I hadn't seen it either, but here we go. And you do it together. And that's what makes the best broker-agent relationships is the willingness to lean on somebody else. And then the person who's being leaned on says, you know what, let's just do, instead of gnashing our teeth and hiding from stuff, you just dig in and do it. And that's the only way you can make it through a deal like this.
That's true. You know, the whole time I could just kept thinking, oh my gosh, these poor buyers are trying to get moved into this house.
Yep.
Now they can't get moved in. I've got to get these buyers in this house. Even though they weren't our clients, I knew, and Morgan also knew how detrimental if this transaction fell apart would be to their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you live in community together. They work with another agent who is obviously somebody you respect. So it's not that you're being kind to them because of future business. You're taking care of them because it's right. And because being in community together means taking care of the other agent's client as though they were your own. It's the, I guess, the golden rule of real estate.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's what we live and work by.
Yeah, most definitely.
And I bet that other agent was grateful for y'all for communicating what was going on. Because how many times have we been in deals where you know something's up, but nobody will return your calls and you can't figure it out and your client's frustrated, but they're feeling like they're in the dark. You guys opened up the channel of communication, not just with your crazy clients, but with the other side, and it kept things together. And that's a huge lesson for everybody. Just lay it out there. Tell them what's going on. Even if your side's the crazy ones, you can say, we're going to have to talk after we're out of agency. Yeah.
It was definitely a learning experience for Morgan and also for myself. And, you know, now that you mentioned getting ordained online, maybe I'll just mosey on back down to the jailhouse and visit some people. They need some
I think
love
you should.
Too.
It's a Universal Life Church. That's where I just went just now. And for $40 extra, you can get a certificate and a badge in the mail. So I might drop $40 on that in your honor.
Oh, I like that. Please do.
Andrea and Morgan, if anybody wants a realtor in Louisville, Kentucky who can literally make it through anything and work in a real estate transaction, how can they reach y'all?
Morgan Bowling, 502-315-9975. And my email is morganbowling@schulerbauer.com.
And listen, none of y'all listeners can spell that, all right? Don't worry about it.
I was going to spell it.
Andrea was going to. I'm just going to put it in the show notes. It's just easier that way. But Andrea, tell them your phone number so we can include it too.
Yes, my phone number is area code 812-589-9312. And my email is andreamurphy@schulerbauer.com.
Yeah, could y'all get a more difficult to spell domain name? I mean, you know, just asking for a friend, but that's okay. Those of y'all that are listening, I know you're on the way to a listing appointment, you're out with a buyer, or you're just a regular, normal person who says, what in the hell is real estate like? Don't worry. You can reach out to these ladies. They're amazing. All their information will be in the show notes for this episode, and they are both very visible on social media where they are actually sociable. So, ladies, thank you so much for bringing all the stories into one episode that happened to all be one transaction.
Oh, thank you. We were glad to tell it. When this happened, I said, oh my gosh, we have got to do Lee's podcast, Crazy Shit in Real Estate.
See, there you go. So this had to be told. So I dare somebody to top this. If you're an agent, a broker, an inspector, investor, lender, or you're a regular normal person and say, I have seen something crazier, hit me up at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks. We'd love to feature you in a future episode of the podcast. And until then, we will see you next time.
For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.